Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show eventually.
Whoa, MC, whoa. What's this podcast called?
Best animated shows ever, so far. Did I there forget the so far?
You forgot the so far.
Yeah.
That's the SF part of Base yeah. SF Cast. It's like the most important part.
I'm a bit off because we're starting a bit early tonight.
We are starting early tonight, and you will definitely hear our third host in the background here. We're starting early because Atticus just refused to sleep. I got up, middle of the night, fed him his bottle like I normally do. You know, get up, change him, feed him his bottle. Tonight we watched a little bit of James Bond. We finished off watching Dr. No, which we're watching for Podcasters Assemble. Hey, go check it out. And then we were watching some Black Lightning, and he fell asleep. And I was like, this is great. Let me go put my baby to bed. I put him in his bed. He's all swaddled up nice and tight. And I lay down. I try to fall asleep for a few minutes. And I'm like, oh, I'm having a little trouble falling asleep. So I put on some Adventure Zone. And I lay there listening to the Adventure Zone. I finished up the episode I was on. And then I was like, ah, so calm and peaceful. Now I'll fall asleep. And then like 30 seconds later, the baby was like, blah! And I tried to soothe him for like half an hour. And then I was like, it's not happening. He's not going back to sleep. There's no way. Look at you. You're not going back to sleep. You're wide awake. So here we are.
He does sound cute, though.
I mean, he's adorable. He's making so many vocalizations now. This is fun. I like that Base SF Cast is also like kind of a progress blog for my baby. And he's currently at the stage where he makes a lot of noise. Yeah, he just has stuff to say all the time. Yeah. He's not crawling yet, MC. But oh my goodness, is he close. We put him his tummy for tummy
time. He's wiggling.
And he wiggles all of his limbs. He just can't figure out how to wiggle them all at the same time.
Well, we're actually here today to talk about Dragon Ball Z Episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
What is this one called again? Reunions?
Reunions. That sounds right. Yeah. I have the new thread on mine. That's not right. Right? The new threat's the first one. That's number one. Reunions is episode two. But before we get to that, we've got the second part of Ninja Boy's report on the kind of background and making of Dragon Ball Z. So, Atticus, if you're okay with that, we'll go ahead and listen into Ninja Boy's report, and then we'll get to Reunions.
Hey Twirlim, MC, and all of the best animated show ever so far listeners. It's Ninja Boy, your resident anime correspondent. Last time I was here, I talked about how the Dragon Ball manga got started, and how in order to focus the fighting elements of his story, Akira Toriyama-sensei aids Goku up about 170 chapters out of his 519 chapter series. Beginning of the Raditz arc in the manga, which is called Dragon Ball throughout, is where the Dragon Ball Z anime starts. So if you remember from last time, Dragon Ball was Toriyama-sensei's second serialized work after Dr. Slump, which also got an anime adaptation. And again, Dr. Slump was the first anime that Weekly Shonen Jump had adapted from one of its works. And that jump from print to screen wasn't without its learning curve and difficulties. Due to these frustrations, actually, with the adaptation of Dr. Slump, Toriyama-sensei's editor, Kazuhiko Torishima, took on a more active role in production alongside Toei Animation, who produced the anime, both anime. The original Dragon Ball series ran for 153 episodes between 1986 and 1989, and again, covered the adventures of the young child Goku, and eventually all of his friends. Believing that the gradual decline in ratings for this original Dragon Ball manga was due to having the same producer as Dr. Slump that was going for the more cutesy-feely feel that wouldn't really be appropriate for a more serious fighting-focused tone, Torishima initiated a change with the studio to get a new production team. They settled on the director Kozo Morishita and writer Takao Koyama, who had worked on the Saint Seiya anime series. This shift in production staff really helped define the more serious tone of combat that Dragon Ball Z brought compared to the original Dragon Ball that was inspired by Journey to the West. And they renamed it Dragon Ball Z to help rebrand the franchise. This went on to have a run between 1989 and 1996 for 291 episodes. Notably, since the manga was ongoing during anime production, so as to not overtake the manga, new characters and anime original filler content was introduced. These were removed in the Dragon Ball Z Kai series later, which retells the story in a remastered form with beta pacing, dropping the total episode count down from the 200 plus episodes down to only 159. Beyond the original Dragon Ball Z series, there were 20 animated original films. The first 17 were released between 1986 and 1995, with 13 of the 17 being set with the Dragon Ball Z versions of the characters and the others with the Journey to the West Dragon Ball characters. These are for the most part not really canon and have characters such as Goku's father Bardock, Android 13, Frieza's older brother Cooler, and anti-hero Broly. Most of these characters being original creations of the animation studio, though some of them have been adapted by Toriyama into canon Dragon Ball works. And the last three films introduced from 2013 onwards were actually directly under Toriyama's guidance, marking his return to the franchise that ultimately led to the Dragon Ball Super TV series that ran between 2015 and 2018 for 131 episodes. The manga for Dragon Ball Super is still ongoing. As an aside, Toriyama kept busy between the ending of Dragon Ball Z and his return to the series as the character designer for Dragon Quest, Chrono Trigger, and Blue Shadow video game series. Aside from that, there also does exist a Dragon Ball GT anime series that's set after the Dragon Ball Z, doesn't follow any original manga or anything, and most here in the West really don't consider it that great. The story was largely written by Toei Animation and ran between 1996 and 1997 for 64 episodes. And of course, that doesn't all get into all the video game series, the video games the franchise has, but I'm not going to get into that here. So, of course, Dragon Ball Z anime is a worldwide hit, but it actually was nearly not the case. The original Dragon Ball anime was first licensed to the States in the late 80s to Harmony Gold USA, and they renamed Goku to Zero, apparently. This dub of 5 episodes and 1 movie was never actually broadcast after testing poorly in some test cities, and is called the Lost Dub. Later, in 1994, Funimation, who we all know and love today, picked up the license for Dragon Ball. In fact, Funimation was founded specifically to get the Dragon Ball license for the States. Their founder, Gen Fukunaga, had an uncle, Nagafumi Hori, who was a producer for Toei Animation, and through that connection was able to get the license for Funimation. So, we have Dragon Ball really to thank for Funimation becoming a juggernaut in the anime dubbing space today. In any case, the heavily edited Dragon Ball series ran for 13 episodes before being canceled in 1995. In 1996, they tried again with the license for Dragon Ball Z. Again, remember, they're two separate series. They used a Vancouver-based voice cast and had newly composed music, including the famous Rock the Dragon theme song. Many cuts were made to the series, mostly for content, and reducing the 67 episodes down to only 53. They worked with Saban Entertainment to syndicate the series, which premiered in late 1996 and ran until 1998. It actually had pretty strong ratings for the time, but however was canceled after these 2 years due to Saban Entertainment scaling down its syndication business. So, this is where the real turning point happens, when Cartoon Network picks up Dragon Ball Z and airs it during the Funimation dub during the super popular Toonami block. Due to the success, they actually ordered more episodes to be made. Since Funimation could no longer afford the original Vancouver Canada-based cast that they had done, they actually began using an in-house team based out of Texas, and this launched the career for many voice actors, including Sean Schemmel, who plays Goku, Chris Sabat, who plays Vegeta, Piccolo, and Yamcha, and Laura Bailey, who plays Young Trunks. Without Saban Entertainment and with fewer content restrictions on cable television, content after the original Japanese 67 had fewer edits here in the States. This dub was completed in 2003, though they later went back and redubbed the original 67, the first 67 episodes, again with fewer cuts, using their in-house voice team, and tweaked the background music again and re-aired this dub starting in 2005. Between when Toonami picked them up in 1998 and when it eventually was canceled in 2008, there was always some form of Dragon Ball being aired, with Funimation going back and redubbing the original Dragon Ball anime with their staff in 2001 and Dragon Ball GT getting a dub in 2003, as well as the various movies being shown on TV. I know for many kids in my generation, airing alongside anime like Sailor Moon, Gundam, and Voltron, the stuff we were seeing was really unlike anything we had seen previously. Most animated shows of the time were either adult comedies like Simpsons or King of the Hill, or relatively safe shows that you would see on Nickelodeon that didn't really have the violence or intense action that Dragon Ball Z had. Interestingly, you know, thinking about it, that shift toward the more violent action kind that helped it, that helped make it stand out, you know, kind of retroactively justifies the decision that Toriyama Sensei and Torishima did to shift the focus of the anime more from that road trip Journey to the West inspired story to the more fighting focused Dragon Ball Z. I would also be remiss to not mention the hyper popularity of Dragon Ball in Latin America. When the final episodes of Dragon Ball Super aired in 2018, it was billed on the same scale as some professional wrestling or boxing matches, with literally thousands of fans filling public stadiums and plazas for public screenings. Apparently, the Embassy of Japan in Mexico sent a memo to the Mexican government asking for help with these illegal copyright infringements, the first time I've ever known of an anime being part of an international diplomacy incident. In any case, the story behind this is that Bandai bought the license for the original Dragon Ball to Mexico in 1993 and dubbed it as Zero EL Dragon Mágico. Again, Goku was renamed to Zero, and it was based on the original Harmony Gold dub. But this was, again, only for the first 5 episodes, and they ended up using the original Japanese script for the other 60 episodes before it was canceled. Again, the original Dragon Ball had 139 episodes or something like that. After that initial failure, Bandai transferred the license to Cloverway, who had done the Spanish dub for Sailor Moon and Saint Seiya. They redubbed those first 60 episodes using the same script as Zero EL Dragon Mágico, with some changes for content, and produced all 153 episodes. Oh, it was 153 of the original series. Naturally, they would follow it up later with the Dragon Ball Z dub in 1997. In a similar way, vein to how Dragon Ball Z was aired constantly in the States on Toonami until 2008, Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z were re-aired constantly until 2009 in Mexico, and in, you know, largely a lot of the rest of Latin America, which, combined with relatively lax intellectual property laws in the region, led to a widespread love for Goku. I've definitely seen pictures of barbershops with Goku painted all over them. Interestingly, since Latin America got the original Dragon Ball anime first, they seem to be a bit more receptive to the goofier elements of Dragon Ball GT and not just the more intense Dragon Ball Z, you know, as is the case in the States here. I also wanted to give a quick shout out to Team 4 Star. So in 2008, they actually began the Dragon Ball Z abridged dub, which is, you know, a parody dub they did online, recutting and dubbing over in a comedic manner the various Dragon Ball episodes, Dragon Ball Z episodes. You know, what started off as like a parody dub, you know, eventually they went on to make official dubs for actual anime. So props to them. And, you know, I even though the Dragon Ball Z abridged dub has, you know, officially come to a close in the past couple of weeks, you know, again, it just goes to show how much of an impact Dragon Ball can really have on the industry here. And with that, you know, that's a wrap on my behind the scenes on how Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z got made. If you're interested in learning about Dragon Ball, I strongly recommend you check out the YouTube channel Super Eyepatch Wolf and his 4 video essays on video essays on the series: The Genius of Dragon Ball, The Impact of Dragon Ball Z, The Series That Changed Everything, and Why the Dragon Ball Z Manga is Really Great. Some really great insights. I drew a lot of the information I got from these past couple episodes from him. But in any case, thanks again to Toilet MC for having me back on to set some color on how Dragon Ball Z came to become the giant it is. If you like what you hear, give me a follow on Twitter at NinjaBoyMedia. That's boy with an I. And now, back to you guys.
Thanks, Ninja Boy.
I had no idea Dragon Ball was such a big deal in Latin America. That's super cool. Yeah. I really like that he talked about that they got Dragon Ball first, so they actually watched it, like, in order, unlike us. I mean, I know in the U.S. and I think Australia as well, right? We got Dragon Ball Z first, and then Dragon Ball kind of came about later on.
I remember seeing, like, Dragon Ball, but it wasn't very many episodes, so I think we only got, like, 13 or so, and then, like, Dragon Ball Z was the big one, so.
Yeah. The other thing that I think was interesting from that, well, a lot of it was interesting, the other thing I want to talk about before we get into the episode is, GT and Super. Have you watched either Dragon Ball GT or Dragon Ball Super?
I have seen bits of GT, and I've watched most of Super.
Okay. I have not seen any of either, but my understanding is that they're both sequels to Z, and that basically Super, like, means that that GT doesn't exist in the canon, right?
Yes, essentially.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. I mean, we'll cover them both eventually, but I did want to
timelines.
Get my story straight there.
Timelines and shifting timelines and alternate realities.
That gives me a headache.
Well, you know about Trunks.
I know that Trunks is from a future where Cell destroyed the world, and so then he came back in time to help the team destroy Cell to protect the future, but then he just kind of hung out after that for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is
GT in the Trunks future?
I'm not going to tell you anything. That's spoilers.
All right, fine.
Essentially, the thing that I want to hit on is the trouble that they had with actually getting the, like, Funimation having, doing, like, all the voice acting in Vancouver and then moving it down to Texas.
Sure, yeah.
So, a lot of the thing, that actually, like, while in Texas, it was, like, that they got people in-house. And the one person that he mentioned I want to talk about is Laura Bailey, who plays Young Trunks.
Okay.
Do you know who that is?
I know the name. I can't think of who she is, but I know.
Critical
I
know Role.
Name. Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I'm not a Critical Role fan. I mean, I don't dislike them. It's just, I saw a thing the other day that was it was a meme on the Adventure Zone subreddit that said how I describe the Adventure Zone to my Critical Role friends, and it had a picture of the Lord of the Rings and it said Critical Role on top of it, and then it had a picture of the first book from the Discworld series and it said the Adventure Zone on it. I was like, yeah, and that's why I like the Adventure Zone a lot, and Critical Role, I'm like, oh, it's really good. I don't like it.
I watched the first arc, I guess you would call it, of Critical Role. Mm-hmm. They started up a while ago with new characters in a new world. I haven't got... I got into it a little bit, but I also... That was right before we started up this and getting into probably work. And... Oh, okay. So a lot of my time's been sucked up by that sort of stuff and me trying to get into writing.
You mean like
writing.
The fact that we're recording like 4 hours of podcast this weekend? What are you talking about? My baby's going to be a guest on all of them.
Oh, dude.
With that, MC, shall we?
Yes. Let's go to the ads so we can talk about this episode.
To the ads.
My name's Tyler, and I host the podcast Too Young for This Hit, where I watch movies I've never seen before with guests who love them. So what kind of movies do we watch? We watch mostly like classics movies, you know, like
Escape from New York,
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Alien.
Wayne's World, party time, excellent!
Aliens.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
In addition to talking about movies, we also talk about cats. A lot. For pretty much no reason. You can find Too Young for This Hit and tons of other great podcasts at probablywork.com.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's basesfcast. The email's at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was going to say, but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFcast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them? You want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and you... It's a button? It's
yeah.
Just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for you... people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching, and we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep,
probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it, is kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean. And we're back.
Yes, so. We are. Yes, we are. Hang on, let me make sure I didn't just break my recording. I did not just break my recording. MC, good news. I did not just break my recording.
That is good news, because
I know you were worried about it.
Yes, I was, because we're about to start talking about episode 2 of Dragon Ball Z Reunions. So we get a bit of a recap at the start of this from the last episode. We won't go over that because
last time on Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened. An alien showed up. He flicked a bullet at some people. Gohan was lost in the woods, and then he wasn't anymore. Anyway, here goes.
So we start off this episode with Raditz, who is essentially he's cursing out Goku before he even sees Goku.
Excuse me, Kakarot.
Yeah, well, that's Goku.
No, it's Kakarot.
And then we almost immediately cut to Turtle Island.
Yeah, and this is where, this is why I was like, I don't think that Goku was taking him to Turtle Island because of his powers. He was just taking him to Turtle Island to go hang out on Turtle Island.
Yeah!
He was like, hey, it's time to hang out on Turtle Island Day today.
Yeah, I think that's right, because we see Bulma rock up in one of her weird flying contraptions that she somehow makes and turns into capsules. And when she walks inside, there's... Roshi, Krillin, and the turtle are all there, and they're all excited to see her.
Mm-hmm. It's been 5 years, and now everybody's getting back together again. Yay!
And everyone's grown up.
Uh-huh. Well, like, they kind of grew up at the end of Dragon Ball. So
yeah.
They're not that much more grown up, but they're a little bit more grown up.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Is Roshi creepy in this scene? I can't remember.
Yes. He's like, can I touch your boob a little bit in the...
okay, yeah.
In the Japanese one. I'm not sure what he says in the English one.
Let me check. I'll tell you, because I just saw it happen, but I haven't muted. Hang on. Here we go. She gives him a present.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, cool. And then he says, I'm so happy right now, as he's staring at her boobs. And then he says, I could just squeeze you, and holds his hand up to her boobs.
Yeah. He actually says, just let me touch your boobs. He's saying, you don't need to give me a gift. Just let me touch your boobs.
Wow, that's crazy that the Japanese one is like, no subtext. No.
And let's just skip over creepy Roshi, because he's always creepy. Our friend Scoot does a really good impression of both Roshi and Vegeta, and his Roshi is on point. It's very creepy.
This is true. I'm now going to have to message him and see if I can get him to, like, give us... Here's the thing. I'll be like, okay, Scoot, I need you to give us a Roshi impression of him saying something that's inappropriate, but not too inappropriate. Oh, man. Do you think... I'm going to message him right now. Say, can you give me a Yoshi impression saying, does Mewtwo f*** though?
That is one of our lines, yes.
Wait, it's 4:30 in the morning. I'm not going to message him that right now. What am I talking about?
No, he's not awake. He won't be awake until midday.
Okay, so Goku shows up and he's like, hey, everybody, check it out. I got a kid. And they're like, whoa, you got a kid? And he's like, yeah, I got a kid.
We get a nice little scene of Gohan in Goku's lap as they fly over the ocean, and it's really cute. And everyone's like, it's weird because everyone's like talking about like fighting and lunch, and there's dumplings, and Raditz is flying towards Goku and he's on the move still. And then Goku shows up with Gohan and they're like, oh, who's the boy? And he's like, oh, it's my son. And everyone's like, what? You have a son?
And they're like, well, and they're all freaked out. At least he doesn't have a monkey tail. Oh God, he's got a monkey tail.
Oh yeah.
And if you don't know, I mean, here's the thing. When this came out, like, for most people watching this in the West, they, whoa, hey buddy. Sorry, childcare momentarily.
They don't know about the whole full moon Saiyan thing. Is that what you're trying to get at? Like, for those who have not seen any Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z or any of that sort of content, Saiyans, when the moon becomes full, turn into giant apes if they still have their tails. That's pretty much it. And they become overpowered and they sort of go into a rage and destroy everything around them. So, everyone's kind of freaking out that Gohan still has his tail after they meet him. What's really weird, Troy, is how polite Gohan is, and then everyone's like, oh yes, good afternoon. And
he's a polite
little
child. Everybody loves a polite child. Aw, man. Dude, you need me to take a break? You need some love? Alright, hang on.
Okay, so before Atticus interrupted us and was being fussy and fell asleep, we were talking about how Gohan was being cute and very polite. And
wow, look at that. MC, hey, that was a really good transition to get back on topic.
Yeah. I'm getting good at this thing.
I did want to call out one thing with the monkey tail that I think is interesting, which is that Krillin and Bulma and Master Roshi are all freaking out about the monkey tail. Goku has no idea.
No clue.
He does not know why, like, he used to have a monkey tail, and now he doesn't, but he doesn't know why having a monkey tail is bad.
Do you know why that is?
Because he blacks out when he goes into giant monkey mode.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he has no idea it happens, and never had.
Yep.
So when...
Poor Goku. How did he lose his tail? Who cut it off?
I can't remember. Yeah.
Anyway, so they're all like, oh god, a tail! And he's like, it's fine, it's just a tail. And then he senses an energy power level.
Well,
oh no.
It's great because Roshi brings up the full moon thing and Goku just ignores it. Before.
Does he?
Yeah, before the. He's like, oh no, we all go to sleep. Like,
has he ever done anything weird, like when he sees the full moon?
Yeah, and he's like, ah, no, we could just go to sleep early on. It doesn't matter. Everyone's like ignoring it. And, Gohan has a cute scene with a crab and the turtle.
Mm-hmm. He's just cute. He's a cute little kid being cute. He's so innocent and sweet.
Yeah. And then the power signal pops up and it's just like... Goku is just like... sensing it. And... Mm-hmm. He looks really weird, like he's almost constipated.
He's focusing so hard. Listen, Dragon Ball Z, I think, is responsible for so many times that young men since the 90s have focused really hard on something by going, and it doesn't do anything, but it's what they do in Dragon Ball Z when they need to focus their ki.
The only other thing that I really think has affected is how we say clown.
Clown?
Clown? Clown? It's my favorite. What's It's my favorite line from Vegeta. Just the way that he says clown. But essentially Raditz turns up at Turtle Island. And he's got his sensor, mm-hmm. and he's like, why haven't you destroyed the humans? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Flick my tail like Krillin into a wall.
This is where we get, like, the full backstory.
Yeah.
And he explains that the Saiyans are a race of super powerful baddies who go around and sell planets, but they have to get rid of life on them first, so they send their babies to planets to wipe people out and then sell the planet, I guess.
So they send their babies to low-level planets like Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They send their adults to planets with more powerful adults.
Foes.
Yeah.
More powerful life forms living on them.
Yeah. But essentially, they don't deem Earthlings strong enough for a proper Saiyan warrior, so they send a baby. And mm-hmm. he was instilled with orders... in the pod that he arrived in, and when he arrived he was a very naughty baby, and Roshi tells the story of Gohan, the original,
Grandpa Gohan,
about how he found a child in a capsule in a crater, and decided to take it in, but it was very naughty, and it kept biting him and acting out, until one day, it fell into a ravine and hit its head, and his whole attitude changed. And that's the story of Goku.
Mm-hmm.
And,
he's an evil warlord with amnesia. An evil warlord baby with amnesia.
And essentially, Goku makes a lot more sense now.
That's why he's so strong, and that's why he had a monkey tail. And Krillin's like, that's great, buddy, but you should probably go. And
no,
Raditz just flicks him with his tail.
No, that was before the story. I already mentioned
Did you mention him flicking him with his tail?
Yeah.
Did you say he flicks him with his tail?
Yeah. Through a wall. I specifically said through a wall.
Was that before or after I fell into a ravine and hit my head?
That was before.
Ah, that makes sense because I do have amnesia now. So, who are we?
Good callback. I didn't understand what was going on there for a second.
What was going on is I legitimately do not remember you mentioning that. So...
Yeah, I totally brought that up, and you just went past it. So I went with it.
I was thinking about something else.
Yeah, and Krillin just crawls out of the wall after the whole story about Goku and how he's an idiot, but also very strong warrior.
The other big reveal is... Like, okay, we're like, all right, Krillin and Goku, we know, are, like, two of the strongest people on the planet. Piccolo's another of the strongest person on the planet. But they've, like, we've seen Piccolo get his butt kicked. We've seen Krillin get his butt kicked. We're like, who is this guy, MC? Who is this super powerful being? Like, all right, he's a Saiyan, whatever. Like, he's some crazy alien that we have no relationship to. Oh, it turns out that he, like, is from the same species as Goku. That's pretty interesting. Like, I guess that explains why he's so powerful. But what's that? He's not just from the same species as Goku.
No.
He's his brother.
Yeah, it's his older brother. Raditz is Goku's older brother.
Yeah.
And he talks about Planet Vegeta getting hit with an asteroid and getting destroyed and both of his parents dying. So, do you actually know what happened to Planet Vegeta?
Sorry, hang on. Okay, so good. That was Atticus' smart sock, which monitors his heart rate and his breathing, but that chime just meant that it was having trouble connecting to the smart sock, so. I've just moved it closer to the room.
Okay, so
I don't remember. I don't remember what happened to Vegeta. Like, oh, no! Duh! Freaking Frieza blew it up!
Yes, do you remember why?
No. I'm guessing it was for revenge?
No, it's because he thought they were becoming too powerful because they were going to planets, killing off the inhabitants, and selling the planets off.
Oh. Yeah. So...
He's the Saiyans were part of his organization that does that.
Oh, okay. So Frieza was like a mob boss, and the Saiyans were like a specific gang within the mob that was becoming too powerful as like a subset. And so Frieza was like, "Listen, I need to make sure these people don't rise up against me. So I'm just gonna wipe them all out."
Essentially, yes. And
spoilers, MC. What if somebody's listening to this who's never watched Dragon Ball Z before?
Well, I only bring that up because of what happens after he explains that the planet has been blown up. He explains that four Saiyans have survived the destruction of Vegeta.
There's Goku.
And his older brother, Raditz. We won't bring up the other two.
Okay, I know who they are. I had to count them in my head.
Yeah, so you know who they are, but that's not actually true.
Okay, who else survived? Well, I guess you can't tell me who else survived.
No, I'm not going to bring that up. But
it's kind of like how Krypton blew up, and like the only thing that survived the explosion of Krypton was baby Kal-El, and also his cousin Kara Zor-El, and also then there was like about 83 other Kryptonians who survived, and it's totally...
Oh, and a whole bloody city trapped in a jar.
Yeah. We're watching Supergirl right now, and there's a whole other bloody city. Like, they're getting a reading from space, and like, oh, we gotta go check it out, and they get there. It's just a Kryptonian city. Just a whole city. Like, Kara's hometown exists on, like, an asteroid in space. What?
Yeah, there's a lot of Superman... things that we could talk about with Dragon Ball Z as well. Like, many similarities.
If Journey to the West was a major inspiration for Dragon Ball, then to me it definitely seems like Superman was a huge inspiration to Dragon Ball Z.
Essentially Raditz is like, you were supposed to conquer this world. You're a mighty Saiyan warrior. Yeah. Yeah. we went on tangent. We're a bit loopy today. Hello. He's like, oh, that boy's your son, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And he's got a tail.
Yeah. And Raditz and Goku have a 2-second fight in which Raditz hits Goku in the solar plexus with a massive knee. Mm-hmm. And then when Gohan runs over to see Goku, Raditz just picks him up by the scruff. And he's like, hey, go kill 100 humans, or you're not going to get your son back. Because I need him or you to come with me so we can go conquer this planet. Because there's only 4 Saiyans left. And we need you to come with us so we can get this planet.
I think the 100 humans things is, I mean, or well, Earthlings. Because remember, there are dog people. But it's crazy because it's just like, just indiscriminately, just go kill 100. I don't care who. Just go kill them.
And he
Holy
wants them.
Smokes, dude.
He wants them to be piled up on Turtle Island by tomorrow.
And he takes Gohan away, and then it ends.
Yeah.
The end. MC, can I tell you about the battles in this one?
Yeah.
There are 2 battles. Can you name the 2 battles?
The tail flick and the knee.
Uh-huh. Yep, there's Raditz vs. Krillin and Raditz vs. Goku. I'm just checking if there's anything else in here. Anything interesting in the notes, but I don't think there is. So, what do you got?
It seems like the English dub and the Japanese original seem to be fairly along the same lines. The Japanese one might be a little bit more straightforward, it seems, when it comes to sex. Mm-hmm. Or creepy old dudes. I'm not sure which. But
they don't sugarcoat Roshi in the Japanese one. The American one is like, he's a creepy old man, nudge, nudge. And the Japanese one's like, he's a creepy old man.
But, I really enjoy Dragon Ball Z. Like, I forgot how good it starts out as well. Like,
it is.
You get Raditz.
Yeah, this episode, I think, last episode I had pacing issues, but this episode really starts out strong for me.
And Gohan is so damn cute.
And Gohan is very cute. He's a very good boy. I'm just looking to see. So, as you pointed out, we've only seen 2 of the surviving Saiyans, right?
Yes.
Not true. Because I wouldn't have noticed this except for that the Wikia told me it, and then I went look for it. In the flashback scene where he's telling about how the Saiyans go to planets and take over, there's this shot of of Raditz on a planet talking to the leaders of the planet, presumably saying like, hey, we're gonna murder you all and sell your planet. And standing behind him is a short little guy with really big spiky hair and a really tall buff bald dude. Oh, who could they be, MC?
Well, we're not introduced to those characters yet. Although we are supposed to imply that, yes, Vegeta is there. And what's his name?
His name is Nappa.
Nappa, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Vegeta and Nappa are the other two. And they show up, it says, they make cameo appearances in this episode. And sure enough, they do. All right, I think that does it. Let's get into the best and the worst MC. Worst first. What's your worst for this episode?
Roshi
creepy is my worst squeezing. As well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we can agree on that. Creepy boob just, squeezing Roshi.
It's, you know, I get that it's a common thing in anime, but I don't like that character. I don't like the, like, what if a really perverted character, and it's funny that he, like, is sexually assaulting people. And I'm like, no, it's not, though.
No.
And the problem is, here's the problem with that in a cartoon like this. The problem with it is, that when I was watching this in, what, 1996, when it came on to Toonami, I was 7, 8 years old. I thought it was funny. Like, I didn't understand that, like, is hugely problematic. And yeah. I think that's the problem with putting stuff like that into a kid's show, is that it normalizes it as like, oh, but it's just a joke. And it's like, no, like, he's sexually assaulting people. That's a bad joke, well, cartoon.
The fact that Bulma, like, straight up smacks him across the head.
Yeah, but he never stops.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He's been doing this since the first day he met Bulma, like 15 years ago. And he still, when she shows up, is like, oh, can I squeeze your boobies? And she's like, no, you were an old man 15 years ago and I thought you were creepy. Buzz off. And he's like, oh, well, next time I'll try and squeeze your boobies. And it's like,
didn't we talk about...
Stop that, dude.
Didn't we talk about how creepy Roshi was in Dragon Ball as well?
Yeah, because there's the bit where she flashes her panties at him to get a Dragon Ball, but it turns out she's not wearing any panties. We weren't doing best and worst at that point, but if we had been, that would have been on my
right
list.
There. Yeah.
Not as the best.
So, the best... I'm gonna have to say, like, the whole reveal of the Saiyan race and what they're about and the whole backstory and finding out Vegeta's gone and there's only 4 Saiyans left.
Mm-hmm.
All that sort of thing. That's probably my favorite thing. We get more of the universe, essentially.
Well, and especially coming from Dragon Ball, where, like, I mean, Dragon Ball has Piccolo in it, but other than that, Dragon Ball's pretty Earth-centric. And then suddenly, like, the universe gets so much bigger right at the start of Dragon Ball Z here, because it's like, hey, what about, like, an alien race that sells planets to other alien races? Like, that tells you so much about how big the galaxy is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, most of that we won't see, because then the rest of Dragon Ball Z, like, is pretty much Earth and Namek. Like, they don't...
Yeah.
Where's all these other... Like, Earth was a low-powered... planet? Where are all these other higher-powered planets?
You know what's really bad is when we get to around to Super, we're not just dealing with that, we're dealing with multiple universes.
I hate it. I hate that. That makes me so mad, MC. The only medium I've read, or consumed, not read, that does multiple parallel worlds well is the CW DC TV shows, because, like, they have Arrow and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow all take place on one Earth, and then they were like, man, we really want to get Supergirl in here, or actually I think even before Supergirl became part of the universe, they started going to Earth 2 and getting, like, Jay Garrick from Earth 2 to be part of the show occasionally, and then they're like, we want Supergirl to be part of this world, but since in season 1 of Supergirl it didn't really make sense because it was a separate universe, but now we want to be... We'll just say she's on her own Earth, and she can just pop over whenever she wants. And then it all builds up to what I haven't seen yet, which is Crisis on Infinite Earth. Don't tell me about it. I'll see it eventually. I know Kevin Conroy's in it playing Batman in live action, and that makes me very happy.
I'm guessing you haven't seen Sliders then.
I have not seen Sliders. I have heard mostly mocking things about Sliders. Whenever anyone brings up Sliders, it's usually with like, oh, Sliders.
Most of the episodes are, like, pretty bad and funny. But the way that they deal with multiple universes is really cool. And there's a whole episode, because the idea in Sliders is they get stuck traveling from Earth to Earth, not being able to find their way back to the original Earth. And there's this one episode.
They just keep jumping around, hoping that their next jump will be the jump that brings them home.
Yeah. Because
that's Quantum Leap.
Well, I mean, that's also Quantum Leap, yes. But they're also trying to, like, make their way home as well. Like, they're trying to find technology in, because multiple universes and all that sort of stuff. But they think they finally made their way home.
Mm-hmm.
And everything seems perfect.
Everything seems perfect. Almost everything's exactly the same. I bet that somebody's got a, like, white picket fence instead of a brown picket fence.
Nope.
I don't remember what it is. You've told me this before, but I don't remember what it is.
So in San Francisco, there's a very famous bridge.
Uh-huh.
What color is it?
Bridge?
Yeah.
It's red.
The Golden Gate. It's not red on that planet. It's blue.
Okay. But everything else is the same?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, it's the one thing. It's
That's much bigger than I was thinking. I literally thought it was that, like, the fence in front of one of the characters' house was wrong. So my memory was that they, like, went and checked everything, and they're like, everything's hunky-dory, great. And then he gets back home at the end of the episode, and he walks up to the fence, and then it was going to be like, normally the fence opens on the left side, and instead it opens on the right side. Because the Golden Gate Bridge being a different color is, like, I mean, that's a fairly big thing.
Yeah. But there's this whole thing where one of the characters is like, it's practically home. Can't we just stay here? And they're like, and some of the other characters are like, no, it's not home, but it's close, but it's not. And it's one of those things where it's like, if one thing like that was different, would you notice it? And it's where I first discovered the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm. You mean how some people thought that Mandela was dead in prison, and then other people were like, no, he's not in prison. And then some people were like, hey, remember the Berenstain Bears books? And then other people were like, no, it's the Berenstain Bears books, which is just wrong. It's the Berenstain Bears. And I don't care how many books you show me that say Berenstain Bears. That's not what they were called when I was a kid. We're living on the blue Golden Gate Bridge planet is what I'm trying to say.
Here's the thing. Would you know it?
Here's the thing, MC. Have you checked the Golden Gate Bridge lately? I haven't checked on it lately.
No, I haven't.
You listener
actually.
At home, have you checked on the Golden Gate Bridge lately? What color is it? Have you seen it with your own eyes in, like, the past, I don't know, I'm going to go with the past 2 years. I haven't seen it with my own eyes in the past 2 years.
Here's the thing. I can't remember the last time I flew into San Francisco, so I can't answer that. Because I think the last couple of times I flew into LA before going up to Portland. So
MC's best thing about season 1 episode 2 of Dragon Ball Z is sliders. And my best thing about season 1 episode 2 of Dragon Ball Z is Krillin. I love Krillin. Krillin's my favorite boy until we get to the Cell Saga. But for now, Krillin's my favorite boy, and he just as soon as he shows up, I'm like, oh, you're so happy, and I like you so much, and you got your weird bald head with Dragon Ball dots on it that I don't quite understand why that's there, and you do your special move where you throw frisbees at people, and also, there's a great moment in this where Goku's like, hang on, I sense a power level coming in from a distance, and Krillin's like, yeah, me too. I totally also sense that power level. Yep. Oh boy, do I sense it. And I'm like, Krillin, you don't sense anything, Krillin. I see you.
You know what? We forgot to mention the
What's
fact that?
That
Goku has 3 Dragon Balls.
Oh yeah, just chilling. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that anybody's like going out of their way to collect Dragon Balls right now.
No.
He just got them.
Well, he wanted the 4 ball to have a Gohan remembrance, and he's put it on Gohan's hat.
Boy, that sentence was confusing, MC. You want to take another stab at it?
Grandpa, he has the 4 ball as a remembrance token of Grandpa Gohan, and he's put it on his son Gohan's hat.
There we go. Okay, that made much more sense that time.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. This has been the best animated shows ever so far. Be sure to tune in next time when we talk about season 1 episode 3 of Dragon Ball Z Unlikely Alliance. Until then, don't change the channel. I miss staring awkwardly at you while I try to think of something funny to say.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.